Day 2. Althea brought the contract to him the next day. Marcon, who had been restlessly moving about his library all morning in the resolute determination that he was not waiting for her, tried to tell his steward that he would be available in a few hours, but instead found himself ordering the man to send her straight in. When she came in, Althea looked decidedly weary. Her hair was braided more tightly than ever, and today she wore a severe black dress that did nothing to soften the fact that she had dark bruises below her eyes, and that her skin was decidedly pale. "Good heavens, what happened?" Marcon demanded, surprised into taking a step toward her.
"I don't sleep very well on my first night in a new bed," said Althea, her eyes slipping past him.
So she was lying to him. No, not lying. Withholding. Marcon thought about it and came to the conclusion that he knew exactly what she'd been up to before she came to see him. "How did your experiment go?" he asked. He was rewarded by that brilliant, sudden smile.
"Very well," she said. "Miss Augusta will make a full recovery, though she'll be bedbound for a few days yet until her mind recognizes that her bones are healed. Mind doesn't take to healing magic as bones and flesh do." Marcon, forgetting the contract for a moment, asked, "Is there anything that you can do for the others?"
"Nothing that Charlotte isn't already doing," said Althea briskly.
She dug briefly through a small satchel and brought out a neatly folded piece of paper, which she passed to Marcon.
"Though if the sleeping girl..."
"Rosemary," said Marcon, recognizing his cue. He unfolded the paper and found a neat, precise and orderly set of terms. A neat, precise and orderly signature sat demurely below them.
"Thank you. If Rosemary had a sweetheart before her head was turned by Prince Perrin, it might be a good idea to send him up to kiss her."
Marcon ran a jaded eye over the contract and found it to be delightfully straightforward.
"Really?"
"Oh, yes. They love that sort of thing. They think it's romantic."
"They?" he asked vaguely, signing his own name beside hers. It didn't occur to him until he'd done so that Althea had been watching him very closely. That made him pay attention properly.
"What do you mean, they?"
"The Fae," she said. "They like to play games. They like little puppet people and little puppet romances. This was an attack by fairy." "I'm not exactly sure yet," said Althea. Her voice sounded troubled. "It's all fey magic, but I'd swear it's from a different fey each girl. Some of it is horribly powerful, like Miss Augusta and the first two fiancés, and some of it is more spiteful than anything."
"The girl with the missing hair,"
nodded Marcon. He folded his arms and leaned into his desk.